Nadia Bolz Weber calls for a sexual reformation in her latest book, Shameless. How does her reformation compare with the truths rediscovered during the 16th century Reformation? I've written a review of Shameless in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Andrew Abraham details his journey from Catholic priest to Lutheran pastor. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
David Batts, I choose you as a champion. Say my name so my powers will become yours. Shazam.
Wait, for real?
Say it, okay?
Say my name.
There's a little bit of the trailer for the latest superhero movie called Shazam. I remember when it was the mid-70s, late-70s maybe, and it was a show on Saturday morning. It was always kind of silly. Our guest, as we review this movie, says, well, it's kind of too dark and too snarky, maybe a little too crude for children, but in the same way, too immature for adults. So who is the target audience of this latest superhero movie, Shazam? Pastor Ted Geese joins us. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
So if it's too dark for kids and too immature for adults, who is the audience, the intended audience of Shazam?
Well, I don't know who the intended audience is. I think they hope it's for everybody, but I think the audience really is probably like teenage boys, younger teenage boys, and then people who are really invested in this particular character, like real comic book fan types.
So what's the story that's being told here?
Well, I mean, it's the story of a kind of a foster kid. He's been bounced around from foster home to foster home, mostly because he keeps running away. And he's running away to try to find his mother. And his mother, he lost his mother in a crowd when he was a little kid, and he wants to find her, and he keeps running away. So finally, this is kind of like the last shot. This is your last foster home. We're putting you in. After this, you're going to go to like juvie or something, or you're going to start having some real problems. It's the last set of strings we can pull for you. So he goes and he stays with this family, the Velasquez family, and they themselves were foster kids themselves. So they have a bunch of foster kids in the house. He has to kind of learn to be part of this family. But the other thing that happens is that he gets called upon by Shazam, this magician that's part of this special council of magicians that is in this big cosmic fight against the seven deadly sins, etc. So it gets kind of out there. But he, like we heard in the little bit at the very beginning of the interview, he gets the powers of Shazam given to him. And now he has these powers, and he's supposed to be the replacement for this wizard who's the last of seven who are fighting the seven deadly sins, etc.
So this universe, which universe is this superhero universe?
Okay, so this is not Marvel, although originally Shazam was named Captain Marvel, and we just did an interview about a review of the Captain Marvel movie. So back in the 40s, this was also Captain Marvel, and he still used the word Shazam and all the rest of it. Like literally in the 1940s, this was already a comic book thing, and there were serial films and stuff available to watch about this. So this is not Marvel, though. This is DC. So this is in the same area as like Batman and Wonder Woman and Superman. So he's an Aquaman, which we talked about just around Christmas. So this is, and in fact, I think this was probably supposed to be released at Christmas, but they put Aquaman at Christmas and bumped this one because there's all of this Christmas stuff all the way through this movie. So it seems like it probably should be a Christmas movie, but that's beside the point. So this is in that kind of bunch of comic books.
I'm wondering what they're trying to achieve here, because some of their characters are obviously very, very dark, and their movies are super serious. And this one is, at least from what I've seen of the trailer, considerably more cartoonish. Am I misreading the film?
Well, yeah. I mean, this is okay. So we're not talking Marvel, but this is more like Ant-Man, as compared to like Iron Man or something. Like, this is goofier, it's sillier, all the rest of it. But it's not like, it is crass, you know, like I said, it's kind of probably for teenage boys. It's crass, it's not really, you know, good for little kids, but it's not Deadpool either, right? Like, it still draws a line and doesn't go quite as far as a, you know, comic book film like Deadpool goes. So, you know, like in Quebec and Canada, it's rated G. So it's not quite as far as that. But yeah, this is not super serious. It's more like Aquaman. I think the story's told a little better than the Aquaman one. I didn't like the general way Aquaman unfolded, but this is a much more linear, straightforward kind of story.
So you would not expect, just because of the way they're approaching this, Shazam to be featured in a future kind of ensemble cast of the other superheroes of this universe?
No, I think he will be. I think they'll have him in there. Zachary Levy, who plays the deal is that it's a teenage boy, and when he says Shazam, he turns into an adult male. So the adult male Shazam is played by Zachary Levy. People would know him from the TV show Chuck. And then this Billy Batson, the teenage kid, that kid is played by Asher Engel, and he's kind of a likable young miscreant. He's a wiseacre. But I think that the idea is that he would be sort of, if they were going to include him in like Justice League related stuff, he would be like the court jester kind of thing. He would be the guy with the wisecracks. He'd be one of the ones bringing comedic levity to whatever seriousness Batman and Superman had going on.
I guess the question I've got is, when he is the superhero, is he an adult or is he just a teen boy with the physique of an adult superhero?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Like, he's the teenage boy with the physique of the adult. So he realizes quickly, oh, I can go buy beer, and, you know, like these kinds of things. So he, you know, in fact, there's a point where he is in a strip club of some sort, and they don't actually show the inside of the strip club, but he's been in it, kind of a thing. So it's like, what would teenage boys do if they could pass as an adult, is kind of one of the kind of goofball things that happens as he's figuring out what his powers can do.
Speaking of his powers, there's kind of a fascinating connection to some pagan and kind of quasi-Christian, characters in the name Shazam. What's the connection there?
Yeah, you know, Shazam is a silly word, right? It's kind of like a made-up word. It's actually an acronym. So when the wizard, you know, is imbuing him or like endowing him with all of these powers, the wizard says, you know, you're going to have the wisdom of Solomon, the strength of Hercules, the stamina of Atlas, the power of Zeus, the great courage of Achilles, and the speed of Mercury. And then he says, you must never call upon this power except in the service of right. So, you know, like, well, Hercules and Atlas and Zeus and Achilles and Mercury are all part of Greco-Roman paganism. They have nothing to do with Christianity at all, or anything remotely Christian, you know. Solomon, though, the wisdom of Solomon, people might think, well, that's kind of, you know, that's King Solomon. That's King David's son. That's biblical wisdom of Solomon. You know, here's the determining whose baby boy it is between the two prostitutes. All of that kind of stuff is like stuff people might recognize from scripture. When they hear the wisdom of Solomon, they may think of that. But this movie is all about like the occult and, you know, magic and stuff like that. So this Solomon here is not the Solomon of the Bible so much, but a co-opted Solomon of the Bible that's more in keeping with the Solomon you'd find attached to the pseudepigraphal magic book, The Key of Solomon, that's a favorite of Freemasons and occultists and stuff from the 14th, 15th century. That's the kind of thing that you got here, because, you know, the wisdom of Solomon, how it works in the character of Shazam, is that it's clairvoyance, it's supernatural power and stuff like that. So, you know, kind of almost getting into like Doctor Strange territory from the Marvel universe, but now over here in the DC universe. So this is not the Solomon that people would know from scripture that they're referencing really in this acronym of Shazam.
You note in your review that the Shazam film picks the low-hanging fruit to create tension in the plot by presenting good and evil in a certain way. What is that way?
Yeah, this film has got like a big giant cosmology, and it brings in magic and the supernatural into the DC universe of movies that they're doing right now, right? And it's kind of this yin-yang sort of contrast of balance between dark and light, good and evil, etc., etc. But, you know, that's Eastern, so kind of Middle Eastern or Christian in the Western world, as it were. That's really more kind of getting into something like Manichaeistic dualism. And Manichaeism was a Gnostic heresy within the fringe of Christianity. And why would you be able to say that with this movie? Well, it's because of this kind of notion, and it comes up over and over and over again in piles and piles of movies, where there's this presentation of evil and good being equal opposites, and you don't really know which one is going to win out. Like, good usually wins out, but the idea is that you kind of have to be led down a path narratively in the story where you don't really know which one is going to win out. And really, writers and filmmakers, anybody who's involved in fiction, I kind of think that one of the reasons they do this is because it creates dramatic tension, and you want to have dramatic tension to tell a good story, you know? So it's not maybe as exciting to have a story where it's like, yeah, well, you're going to have battles with evil, but in the end, good has won, which is actually what you get in Christianity with Good Friday and Easter morning, with the death and resurrection of Jesus and the defeat of evil, sin, death, the devil, the world, at the cross, right? So that's maybe boring when it comes to dramatic tension, but it's certainly comforting when it comes to actual real life. So in this film, though, you have these seven wizards that are kind of pitted against the seven deadly sins. And of course, that, you know, there's seven thrones for the seven wizards and there's seven deadly sins. And these are the kind of traditional pride, envy, greed, lust, wrath, gluttony, sloth kind of ones. So again, it's this diametrically opposed thing where you have these two exact equals in theory that are fighting against each other. So that's part of this film. And it seems like it's kind of, to me, low-hanging fruit. So either they choose it because it creates dramatic tension, or they choose over and over again to do this because they actually believe it, like the people making these films. It's hard to say. Or maybe it's just that they're being faithful to their original subject matter, in which case those people had to have probably believed it, the ones that cooked up the idea of Shazam in the first place.
But the problem in that view of good and evil is the tension is essentially eternal, and the goal is balance. I mean, yes. We get it mostly in the Star Wars movies, where the goal is to balance dark and light, not for light to overcome darkness.
Yeah, I mean, like, always, like, even when the evil gets beat in these kinds of movies, there's this kind of moment usually where, you know, evil is off licking its wounds in the darkness, but it's going to come back. You know, and I, like, this is, for anyone who watched the film Legend from the early 80s, that one is one where you literally have the Prince of Darkness, and as he's being defeated, Tim Curry's playing him, you know, with all the red makeup and the horns and the whole bit. And as he's being defeated, he's spouting off all of this Manichaeistic, dualistic language about, you know, the dark and the light need each other, and it's all like, don't worry, I'll be back kind of a thing. And then the very end is him laughing, right? Because this happens. That's just one example, you know, from Ridley Scott. But there's so many movies where this is the case, where the villain's not really gone or not really completely defeated. And he's just like the wheel of fortune is turned and he's at the bottom of the wheel. But he's coming back. Don't worry. And this is that manichaeistic dualism, that it's just a struggle that'll go on eternally or for as long as time is happening.
Pastor Ted Geese is our guest on this Monday, April the 15th. We are reviewing the movie Shazam. We'll talk a little bit more about that dualism in the movie and in a lot of the superhero movies on the other side of the break. After our conversation with Pastor Geese concludes, we'll go back into our series on Lutheran catechesis, talking about the first article of the Creed on creation with Pastor Peter Bender. Is dressing up to be there too.
Like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start. The foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House. cph.org.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
Risen Savior Lutheran Church, Basser, Kansas. Located just right outside the northwest corner of the Metro Kansas City area, we have a growing congregation of people who come from over 13 different communities to see what God is doing here, who desire to only believe, teach, confess, and practice as the church always has. Risen Savior, Basser, Kansas. Check out our website, risensaviorlcms.org.
Nadia Bowles Weber calls for a sexual reformation in her latest book, Shameless. How does her reformation compare with the truths rediscovered during the 16th century Reformation? I've written a review of Shameless in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Andrew Abraham details his journey from Catholic priest to Lutheran pastor. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Discover a truly Lutheran approach to education. Concordia University Chicago's Center for the Advancement of Lutheran Liberal Arts supports a vibrant, growing community of classical educators. Whether you're a teacher, administrator, parent, or homeschooler, we have the resources and contacts you need to start a child's journey into the Lutheran Liberal Arts. Visit cuchicago.edu/calla. That's C-A-L-L-A.
Emmanuel Press is a Lutheran-owned business in Fort Wayne, Indiana, in operation since 2004. That's 15 years of publishing liturgical and devotional books, 15 years of collaborating with Lutheran authors, artists, and translators. Thanks to our loyal customers and Issues Etc., we look forward to many more years of confessing and teaching the Christian faith. Visit us online at emmanuelpress.us. E-M-M-A-N-U-E-L press.us.
The living God is now defined by the living and risen Christ.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Do not fall away from the true God who died and rose again and lives for you.
Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
We are reviewing the movie Shazam. Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. He taught a course at Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Here is a book that will give you two things. It will give you a thorough and very interesting biography of a significant part of the 16th century Reformation that you probably don't know anything, if just a little, about, and that is Nicholas von Amsdorf, one of Luther's personal friends, but also first Lutheran bishop and a great defender of Luther's theology after Luther's death. It will also give you a thorough review of Reformation history because this guy lived it. Nicholas von Amsdorf is the name of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April. You can find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House. Ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, Nicholas von Amsdorf. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. So you were talking before the break, Ted, about the, you said Manichaean dualism, this yin and yang, this balance between good and evil that's presented in the movie Shazam. How does it get resolved in this one again?
Well, the to track back to near the very, well, I guess the very beginning of the film, the idea is that this Council of Eternity with their seven wizards, they've been like fighting against these seven deadly sins: pride, envy, greed, lust, wrath, gluttony, and sloth, and they've been locked in this battle for forever. But you know, they're down to one wizard, and he's old, and he's looking for a replacement. So he ends up he keeps nabbing people along the way to see if they're true of heart. Kind of a thing, and he grabs this one little kid, Thaddeus, who turns out not to be pure of heart, but then like seeks after this power of Shazam, and eventually as an adult he becomes this the villain character in it, and he then with the seven deadly sins that had been captured and contained but now have broken loose, they're running amok. So that is where like the last third of the film really is focused on a physical battle between this Thaddeus Savena, Dr. Savena, and Shazam, this Billy Batson. So this is how it's, you know, wrapping up at the end. But what he finds out, this Billy Batson as Shazam, is that he can't fight them by himself. And this is where he learns this lesson that actually he does need more people than himself. He can't be a loner. He has to be part of a family. And then the other foster kids in the foster home that he's in, they become also, you know, people imbued with the power of Shazam. So it starts to fill out those seven thrones in the council room of the Council of Eternity. That's what happens. So then together as a family, the family didn't know he's looking for, they're able to defeat the evil doctor and squash the seven deadly sins, you know, for now, kind of a thing. And that's how it kind of, that's the way it mainly resolves. But then you do get this kind of after credit scene with the evil doctor all locked up. And sure enough, there is, you know, this promise of future evil endeavors, you know, for him. Like he's not completely gone. He's just licking his wounds.
Is there any attempt to connect the storyline or any of the characters here to any other entities in this particular superhero universe?
Yeah, there's little nods and things like the one of the kids in the foster home, you know, this Freddie Freeman, he's a real comic book nut, and he's the one that rooms with Billy Batson, and you know, he's got all of this paraphernalia of comic books and everything, but he also, in this world, like Superman isn't just a comic book, he's an actual person. So you know, he's got little bits of paraphernalia connected to the actual Superman, like here's a bullet that was stopped by his chest, kind of a thing. So along the way you do get just a couple little things that are connected to the wider DC universe world that they're in. So kind of like almost like Spider-Man in this new iteration of the Marvel films, where he's part of the MCU and he's becoming part of it in a bigger way. You know, the promise in Shazam is that this 14-year-old kid is going to end up in some way being part of the bigger story.
So any warnings you want to say for parents who might be thinking about taking their kids to this particular film with about 30 seconds?
Yeah, you know, the Seven Deadly Sins, there's a scene in this boardroom that's like really kind of distressing. And I would say there are moments where it's not really for little kids. Also, it is, like I said, crass. It has its moments where it's not appropriate for small children. So I would caution against that. And then lastly, you know, like, hey, go, like, as a family, if you do end up seeing it, or if you did see it and, you know, there's thoughts about it all, go read like Revelation chapter 12, 7 to 17, and look at the way things really unfold in terms of any kind of conflict between good and evil, and especially as Christians, the way we would teach and believe and confess that.
With another 30 seconds, what can you tell us about the two movies that you'll be reviewing for us next week, Us and Pet Sematary? What ties them together?
Well, they're both scary movies. Not everybody likes scary movies, but I thought we could talk about them together. And also, Pet Sematary is maybe a good one to talk about because it's dealing with the idea of resurrection, only it's coming at it from a decidedly different angle than we would have, or that Christians will have experienced going through Good Friday and Easter.
Pastor Ted Geese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. You can read Pastor Geese's review of Shazam under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Ted, thank you very much.
Thank you.
In hour two of Issues Etc., we're going to continue our series on Lutheran catechesis. We have come off of the commandments, done a little study of some elements of the divine service, and now it's time to move into the Apostles' Creed, with the first article of the creed being creation. What is a creed? Why is a creed necessary? Not just optional, but actually necessary for Christians. And what do we see of Christ and the Holy Trinity in creation? We'll answer all those questions with Pastor Peter Bender next.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper every service every Sunday, preaching Christ crucified and risen, our hope for years to come. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is. 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri. Find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
If you appreciate Issues Etc., talk radio for the thinking Christian, and Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the world, please include a bequest in your will or trust for these worldwide media resources. Bequests aren't subject to federal tax or capital gains taxes. Ensure your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren the opportunity to listen by including a bequest in your will or trust for Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio.